All right, so get ready, because today we're going somewhere pretty unexpected.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going deep on this article. It's called The Erosion of Rights, A Systematic Threat to Democracy.
Interesting title.
Yeah, and it's from a source I bet you'd never guess.
Let's hear it.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
Whoa. Okay.
Right. Not exactly where you'd go looking for, like, political analysis.
Definitely not what I was expecting.
So for folks who might not know, the Church of Tinkerbell, their whole thing is faith, trust, and pixie dust.
Interesting.
They're really big on, like, building communities and pushing for social justice.
Okay.
But what we're really diving into today is their take on how rights are being eroded, especially here in the U.S.
Gotcha. So we're seeing how a group focused on spirituality tackles something as complex as, like, democratic backsliding.
Exactly. And their article, it argues that there's this, like, deliberate effort happening, you know, to kind of chip away at democracy and even human dignity. And they do it by eroding our fundamental rights. They paint a pretty stark picture.
And do they get into specifics about what rights they're talking about?
Oh, yeah, they do. One of the big ones is this attack on bodily autonomy.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to reproductive freedom.
Makes sense. That'd be a focus.
And they go way beyond just saying, oh, they're rolling back rights.
Right.
They really break it down, you know? They talk about overturning Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And then the mess of different state laws that popped up after.
A little patchwork.
Exactly. And they highlight how all of this really hits people who already have trouble getting healthcare the hardest.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if you're in a state with really strict laws and can't afford to travel for care, your options are basically non-existent.
It's a huge problem, and it makes you think about who these changes actually affect, you know?
For sure. The real-world consequences.
And it's not even just reproductive rights. The article gets into how voting rights are being undermined systematically, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one, and it seems like it's getting harder and harder to vote in a lot of places.
It really does, and the article brings up tactics like gerrymandering.
Ah, yeah, that's where they, like, manipulate the voting districts to benefit a certain party.
It's like rigging the game before it even starts.
Exactly. And then you've got voter ID laws, which on the surface sound reasonable, but they disproportionately disenfranchise voters who don't have specific types of ID.
And those are often minority groups and the elderly.
It's like they're putting up these barriers to make it harder for certain people to vote.
Yeah, and the article argues this is no accident. It's a strategy to silence certain voices and basically control the outcome of elections.
It's a pretty disturbing thought.
It is, and then it gets even more intense because the article then connects all of this to the systematic erasure of certain minority groups.
Whoa, okay, they're not pulling any punches.
Not at all, and they back it up with specific examples.
Like what?
Well, they talk about all these book bans that are popping up.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that. It seems like they're targeting books that deal with race, gender, LGBTQIA plus issues.
Exactly. And they say it's all about controlling the narrative, deciding what people are allowed to learn and even talk about.
Like they're trying to erase entire chapters of history and lived experience.
And it's not just in schools. We're seeing it in legislation too, like laws specifically targeting the rights of transgender people.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
It's like this multi-pronged attack to silence and marginalize entire communities.
Definitely. And it feels like it's all connected.
And that's actually the next point the article makes. It connects this erasure to the dismantling of public services.
Oh, wow. So they're saying there's a link between silencing certain groups and then cutting the services that support them.
Exactly. And they argue it's a deliberate move to defund and privatize things that should be available to everyone, like healthcare, education, and social safety nets.
So basically the things that make a society function.
Yeah. And they say it's creating this system where the people who are already the most vulnerable get left behind.
And I imagine they tie this into environmental issues as well.
You know it. They bring up deregulation and how it hits marginalized communities the hardest because they're often the ones living with the worst pollution and climate change impacts.
It's like everything is connected and those with the least power are bearing the brunt of it all.
That's the picture they're painting and it's pretty bleak. But what I find really fascinating is that the article doesn't just stop at laying out the problems. They try to explain WHY. There seems to be so little pushback.
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. Like, why aren't more people up in arms about this?
Right, and they point to fear.
Fear?
Yeah, fear of speaking out and facing consequences.
That makes sense. People might be afraid of losing their jobs or even being harassed.
Exactly, and then there's the fear of the changes themselves.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, people might be afraid of what will happen if these rights are actually taken away.
Okay, yeah, that fear can be really paralyzing.
And on top of fear, they talk about misinformation and lack of awareness.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge problem these days. Mm. With all the disinformation out there, it's hard to even know what's true anymore.
And that makes it really easy to get complacent.
Right. Like, if you're scared, confused, and maybe you don't even realize how bad things are, it's easy to just look the other way.
It's like this recipe for apathy.
It is. And it's scary to think about.
But the good news is that the article doesn't leave us hanging there.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. They end with a powerful call to action, you know, urging people to wake up and fight back.
Okay, so they're not just doom and gloom.
Not at all. They want people to get informed.
Okay.
Speak out.
Yeah.
And support those organizations that are on the front lines fighting for human rights.
Makes sense. So they're saying we can't just sit back and watch this happen.
Exactly. They say we have to participate in the democratic process, whether that's voting or contacting our representatives or even getting involved in local activism.
It's a reminder that we actually have power. We can make a difference.
And what I find really wild is that this is all coming from the Church of Tinkerbell.
Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. It's not exactly your typical think tank.
Nope, and that's what makes it so thought-provoking, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder how many other voices are out there with unique perspectives on these issues, people we wouldn't normally expect to hear from.
Totally, it's like they're saying, hey, look, even we're worried about this stuff.
Exactly, and it highlights how important it is to seek out diverse viewpoints.
Absolutely. You never know where you might find insight.
Right, and sometimes the most unexpected sources can offer the most profound perspectives.
And it shows that these issues are bigger than any one group or ideology.
Yeah, it's not about left or right. It's about basic human rights and the kind of world we want to live in.
And that's something we can all agree on.
I hope so, because the stakes are pretty high.
They are, but at least we're having this conversation.
Right. Awareness is the first step towards change.
So what comes next? What do we do with this information?
Well, that's a question we'll be exploring further in our next segment.
All right, I'm intrigued.
Stay tuned.
Just take a moment to imagine how someone you don't know, someone completely different from you, might feel. What they might be going through. You don't need to put yourself in their shoes, because you are not them. Instead, see them as a real person with real hopes, dreams, needs, and desires. Someone who is priceless and deserving of life. Someone who might see things very differently from how you see the world, but whose experiences are just as valid as yours. And realize that they are part of humanity. They are part of your world. They are part of your extended family. And they are a part of you. Educate yourself on the issues that affect them the most, whether that is religion or lack thereof, sexual orientation, gender identity, the struggles experienced by others in their minority group, or their mental or physical handicap. And then ask yourself if there's anything you can do to help. And so, this spring and all year long, join with us in cultivating compassion, cultivating your social education, and cultivating care. And let's become better individuals as we work together to make this world a better, brighter, more beautiful place to live. And may Tinkerbell bless you with faith, trust, and pixie dust. TheChurchOfTinkerbell.com.
Yeah, it really makes you realize this isn't just about politics. It's about basic human rights.
For sure, and the kind of world we want to create, right?
Absolutely.
And the Church of Tinkerbell, they have this interesting approach, framing it all through this lens of faith, trust, and pixie dust.
It sounds kind of whimsical at first.
It does, but it speaks to this idea that we can make a more just world if we work together, you know?
It's like their version of we've got this, even when things seem super bleak.
Exactly. And that ties into their call to action because they don't just leave us with a sense of doom.
Right.
They offer real steps we can take.
So what are some of those steps?
Well, they really emphasize awareness.
Right.
Like, we have to educate ourselves and each other about what's going on.
Yeah, that's a good starting point.
Then they talk about finding our voice, speaking out against injustice, and supporting organizations that are fighting these battles.
So it's about getting involved on multiple levels.
Yeah, and they specifically call out the need to participate in the democratic process, like voting, contacting our elected officials, getting involved in local activism.
It's a reminder that we're not powerless. We can actually do something.
But I think it's also important to acknowledge that this work, it can be emotionally draining, you know?
Oh, totally. It's heavy stuff.
And the article talks about how fear plays a role in silencing people, and I think a lot of us feel that.
Yeah. Fear can be a powerful tool. used to control and manipulate.
And when people are afraid to speak up, it creates this climate of self-censorship,
which only benefits those in power.
And it's everywhere. You know, people are afraid of losing their jobs or being ostracized by their family or even attacked online.
It can feel really paralyzing,
especially for marginalized communities who are already facing so much discrimination.
The fear is even more intense for them.
It becomes this vicious cycle. The more fear is used, the harder it is to break free and speak truth to power.
But the fact that we are having this conversation, that people are speaking out, that groups like the Church of Tinkerbell are pushing back, it gives me hope.
Me too. It shows that fear hasn't won, at least not completely.
It hasn't.
But it does make you wonder, how do we stay engaged without burning out? How do we find that balance between being informed and taking action without letting it consume us?
That's a really important question, and I think it comes down to recognizing our limits.
Yeah.
And finding sustainable ways to engage.
We can't pour from an empty cup.
Exactly. Self-care is essential. Mm-hmm. Taking breaks, setting boundaries, finding ways to recharge.
And that's not selfish.
Not at all.
It's crucial if we want to stay in this for the long haul.
Right. We have to be intentional about how we engage.
And that's going to look different for everyone.
Absolutely. Some people might find energy in connecting with others who share their passion.
Yeah.
Others might need more time for introspection.
The key is to find what works for you.
And honor your own needs.
We can't be effective advocates if we're running on empty dreams.
And it's important to remember that progress isn't always linear.
Mm-hmm.
There will be setbacks.
Definitely.
Challenges, moments of despair.
But there will also be victories.
Yes.
Moments of hope.
And that unwavering knowledge that we're on the right side of history.
It's that belief in a better future, in our power to create change that keeps us going.
And that's what the Church of Tinkerbell seems to be tapping into.
Yeah, with their message of faith, trust, and pixie dust.
It's about believing in something better, trusting each other.
And embracing a little magic along the way.
It's a powerful reminder that even in dark times, there's always room for hope, imagination, and that belief that we can make a difference.
And that brings us back to the heart of this deep dive. What can we do? The article lays out a call to action.
Right.
But it's up to each of us to decide what that looks like in our own lives.
It could be something small, like educating ourselves, having those tough conversations with friends and family.
Maybe something bigger, like volunteering our time, donating to organizations fighting for these rights.
Maybe it's running for office, starting a petition, organizing a protest.
The point is, there are so many ways to get involved.
And no action is too small.
What matters is that we're doing something, that we're not just passively accepting this erosion of rights.
And we don't have to do it alone.
Right. There are tons of organizations and individuals out there working towards a more just world.
Connect with them, learn from them, support them.
We're stronger together.
And remember, this work isn't about achieving some big final victory.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process, a journey that requires constant vigilance, courage, and compassion.
And it's a journey worth taking. Yeah, it's that commitment to the long game, to actually building something better, that really stood out to me about the Church of Tinkerbell.
Yeah, they managed to be both thought-provoking and hopeful, which is kind of rare these days.
Right, like faith, trust, and pixie dust. It's a little cheesy, but it makes you think.
It does. It's like they're not ignoring how serious things are, but they're not giving in to despair either.
Exactly. It's like they're saying, hey, things are tough, but don't forget about hope, about community, about the good that can happen when we all pull together.
It's refreshing, you know, especially with all the negativity and fear-mongering out there.
It's a good reminder that we don't have to choose between being informed and being hopeful.
We can be both.
In fact, I'd argue that hope is like fuel for creating real change.
Absolutely. Without it, it's easy to get cynical and then nothing changes.
And so that brings us back to you, dear listener.
Oh.
We've covered some heavy stuff in this deep dive, but we want to leave you feeling empowered, not defeated.
Right.
So what are you taking away from this? What really resonated with you?
Was it the tactics used to erode rights or the impact on real people?
Was it that call to action, the reminder that we all have a part to play?
Or maybe it was something else entirely, something we didn't even touch on.
Whatever it is, we encourage you to think about it, reflect on it.
And most importantly, act on it.
Because this fight for human rights, it's ongoing.
Yeah, it's like a relay race, each generation passing the baton.
And as we pass that baton, let's remember what we've learned, the progress we've made, and that belief that a better world is possible.
So go out there, sprinkle a little pixie dust, and never stop believing in change.
We'll be right here with you, keep diving deep into these important issues and exploring what a brighter future could look like.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep fighting for what's right.